So now let's talk about our distribution. As we saw in our code, if we shut down the rotation speed so that they stay in a straight line, and we run this, we can see we're doing a linear distribution. That means the size of the cubes are dropping down in a fixed size because we're doing the percentage. So this is linear steps down. We're at 10%, 20, 30, 40, 50. It's a straight line in how they're sizing down. But the distance between those is also fixed. So these two look really tight together, although the distance between them is the exact size as the last two. We'd actually like that opposite. We'd like the first couple steps, as we're placing them across X, to be bigger, just as the cubes are bigger. But toward the end, those steps between the second to last and last should be smaller. So how do we go from a linear distribution to a more curved distribution, something that's taking big steps in the beginning, but then slowing down little by little? This we can turn it into like an easing function. People like the way this looks because it maps the way how we're used to things in nature. When I'm making a motion or an elegant dance thing or whatever you're seeing, the human body and our animations tend to work in these easing algorithms. We go really big at first and we slow down as we get specific. The type of motion is appealing to our eyes. Big motions at first that slow down. Big motions, they slow down, sometimes they reverse. And it's this type of animation versus just linear animation that tends to put your creative art into a different level. One of the first ways we can start playing with these easing algorithms is looking at sine. We're only going to do two tweaks to our code, but this lesson is dedicated to explaining what sine is. Hopefully in an easy way, don't panic. We will be talking about geometry and trigonometry. But at the end of the day, we're only going to do two minor tweaks to our code, and we're going to see how we can incorporate these easing algorithms to make our code that much better. So let's stop this. Let's go back to our code. And here's our for loop that we had originally created, and we're just doing percentage, which is linear. Now, to show the visual difference between these two, I'm going to clean this up. I'm going to create another for loop. I'm basically going to copy this for loop, paste it again. And on this first one, and I'll label this linear distro. And down here, we're going to be doing sine distro distribution. The difference, so that we can see them right now, they would exist in the same XYZ space. So our original linear distro, let's just drop that down a little bit to say 3 here on the Y. And this next batch of cubes that we position, we'll position them a little bit higher, we'll say 6. We're going to be working here on this sine distribution. But I want to keep what we did last lesson here so you'll be able to visually see the difference on the two tweaks that we're going to do. First, let's run this to make sure that we do have two distributions. If I run this, now right now they're the exact same thing because I copied the exact same code, but here's our first for loop, our linear distro. We'll use this as our base. And here's the distribution we're going to be playing around with. Okay, so I'm going to stop that. Let's talk a little bit about sine. What the sine of an angle gives you is how big is the y as the angle moves up. So here's a visual display of what's going on. And this red line is what the sine value is. Now let's wait till the angle comes all the way back. When it's here, it's at 0. Let's restart this. We see that at 0 degrees, when we're at 0 degrees, taking the sine of the degree at 0 degrees gets you 0. As the line goes up to 90 degrees, the sine value goes all the way up to 1. Now, because again, we're saying the sine value tells you where the y, and if this is our grid system, if this is x and this is y, and if our angle's here, then where is our y, where's the y point of where our radius is hitting the arc, where is this angle. So as the angle is moving up to 90 degrees, the y goes all the way up to 1. When we pass 90 degrees, we see it starts at 0, goes all the way up to 1. When we pass 90 degrees, it starts going back down to 0 And we see that plotted out here. When we're past 180 degrees, we're down here in these negative quadrants, and we ask for the sine of an angle between 180 and 360, we'll get a negative value. And circles have that property of once you go to 360 degrees, it starts all over again. Let's look at this again. We're only interested in the sine of angles from 0 to 90 degrees because we want an easing function that'll give us a value from 0 to 1. But what we have so far is a percentage. That means this wouldn't be a curve, what we're doing right now. It would actually be a straight line from 0 to 1. It would be a straight line. So when you take the sine of 50% of an angle, you would expect to get 0.5. But the sine of angles as they grow, and let's visualize it this way here. So if my angle's at 0, and I see the sine, and we see sine is up here in red. If my angle is at 0 degrees, my sine is at 0 degrees. As my angle grows up to 90 degrees, I get a value by taking the sine of that angle that grows up to 1. A linear percentage would be as if you drew a straight line from this point right here all the way to this point right here. But 50% of 90 degrees, 45 degrees, if we ask for the sine of 45 degrees, it doesn't say 0.5. It actually says 0.7. That's because the steps that sine takes early on is bigger, because y grows faster early on and it slows down as it starts reaching the top. Let's look at that animation again so we can visually see it. Y grows fast, and as it approaches the top, it slows down, and then it slowly starts taking steps until it gets bigger and bigger. It's taking fast steps that slow down in the negative direction. And it's these little steps here, it's these big steps when you're close to zero, and small steps as you get farther away to either positive one or negative one, that gives sine this property of being easing. It takes big steps at first, and it slows down as it gets smaller. And that's exactly what we want with our distribution. We want our distribution, when our cubes are big, to be big steps. But as our cubes get smaller, we want the distribution to slow down. It makes sense then that if we already have a percentage, we can say, well, if in our percentage is from 0 to 100%, we would say, well, give me the sine of 90 degrees times our percentage. That makes total sense, right? At 100%, we would be getting the sine of 1, which would also be 1. At 0%, we'd be getting the sine of 0, which would be 0. But the difference between percentage growing linearly and taking the sine of it, we would be able to do these easing functions. If I come over to code, we'll see what the problem is, though. So here's my float. If I wanted to start coding this, I'd say float, we're going to do the sine. This is how you get the sine. And we want to say something like the percentage times 90 degrees. Logically, this is exactly what we want. As our percentage grows from 0 to 1.0, we're taking the sine of 90 degrees growing from 0 to 90 degrees. This is exactly what we want. One problem: the computer doesn't understand degrees. So if we're going to talk about sine, which we did, we have to also talk a little bit about radians, because the computer would not understand this to be 90 degrees. Computers take a more mathematically accurate way of thinking about circles. They don't use degrees. When we think about degrees, and we even ask the question, why are there 360 degrees in a circle? Where'd this magic number come from? Well, a lot of it comes back from so many rules of geometry were started thousands of years ago by ancient civilizations. The Babylonians had a lunar calendar. Lunar calendars have 360 degrees in the year. They would cut up the circle of the heavens into 360 degrees a day, a degree for a day. And so you have this combination. And these are all thousands of year old legacies left from ancient geometry, astronomy, astrology. All this was blurred in together. That's why we originally have 360 degrees in a circle. There isn't anything special with that number other than there were 360 days in a lunar calendar and they were all worshiping the heavens. There wanted to be a more mathematically accurate way of looking at this. And we see this when we start studying the history of geometry in general. Geometry means earth measurement. ancient Egyptians would take ropes, and that's how they would learn these original principles of geometry. They were called the rope stretchers. They would take rope and they'd try and figure out what's the relationship between these measurements that we're making. So let's go back and look at our interactive unit circle in degrees, in this ancient Babylonian degrees way of cutting it up. There's no relationship between how big our circle is and how many degrees are in our circle. But if I switch this to radians, we'll see what the Egyptians discovered and then later the Greeks and what got bound in to our understanding. That is, let me actually see if I can make this a little more interactive. What they discovered is the radius of a circle. If you had the rope that was this long, they wondered, is there a relationship between how long the rope is and how many lengths of this rope it would take to go around the circle? And they found out it takes around 1, 2, a little bit more than 3 to go halfway around a circle, 4, 5, and a little bit more than 6 to complete a circle. And this doesn't matter the size of the circle. If you have a bigger circle, your rope or your radius is longer, but it would always take the same amount of rope lengths, and that would be 3 and a little bit of change. We know today that this 3 and a little bit of change is a very specific number called pi. It's an irregular number, 3.14159265 4, on and on and on. But let's just say around 3. So the relationship of a radius to how many lengths of the radius it takes to go around the circle, half the circle it takes pi number of times, which again is 3 and a little bit of change, to go all the way around the circle, the circumference of the full thing would be, well, 2 of those pi's. That's why in school, when they'd say, well, what's the circumference of a circle? It's 2 pi times the radius, 2 pi r. That's a formula we all memorized. This is actually what it means. It basically is saying around 6. If my radius is so long, how many radiuses does it take to go around the circle? Around 6. Technically, 2 pi. Now, we only care about going from 0 to 90 degrees because our sine will go from 0 to 1.0, which is all we want. We don't want our cubes to get big in the middle and then get back down to small. We want our cubes, we want to convert our percentage into a curved percentage, or from 0 to 0 to 1.0, but taking big steps at first that slow down. We're only interested about 90 degrees. So if half a circle is pi radians, 90 degrees is half pi radians. And that's why any diagram you're going to see that goes between degrees and radians, 90 degrees is basically half pi, because you have a pi number of radians to give you half a circle and 2 pi number of radians to give you the full circle. That was a lot of math. Hopefully I made it better. The point is that if you're an artist and if you overcome this initial trepidation with math, if you can really start understanding sine and cosine and tangent and how it makes your art so much more elegant, your experiences are really, really, really going to take off. I threw a lot at you. Hopefully it's more a very quick introduction to this, but please dive into it. Right now we're only looking at sine, and we're going to be asking the computer convert our percentage to a number from 0 degrees to 90 degrees. Since it doesn't understand degrees, we have to say from 0 radians to pi divided by 2 radians. So that's exactly what we'll code. Let's get back to our code. So this doesn't work, as we just saw, because a computer wouldn't know what 90 degrees is, but we just saw that 90 degrees in radians is math pi divided by 2. This is now exactly what we want. We're taking a percentage that will get us from 0 to 1.0, and we're turning that into an ease by multiplying that percentage times the computer's understanding of 90 degrees, or radians, math pi divided by 2 radians. As percent goes from 0 to 1.0, sine will go from 0 to 1.0, but it will take bigger steps at first that slow down toward the end. So this is our first line of code that we're changing. Then we're just going to use it. We can use it right there. Instead of saying percentage x, let's just say sine x. Save this and go back. Remember, our top is our sine distribution. Let's run this. There we go. With that one line of code, we see that it's taking bigger steps at first, and the steps are getting smaller as the boxes are getting smaller. Now, we could get a little sine crazy and start wanting to put it in all different places. I could say my set size, instead of 1.0 minus perc, I can say minus sine if I wanted to. The problem is we'll actually visualize it now. And this is your choice as the artist. We'll see that the boxes at first are very big, and then they get very small very fast. I actually don't like that much for the effect I'm going for. If you want to keep it, totally fine. It's your art as well. I like the way the linear distribution for sizing went, but I prefer my easing distribution using sine for how to space them. So this gets a little too small for my taste. So I'm going to drop that back to our original, which is just using the percentage. So they step down in an even size, but we're distributing them with bigger steps at first, leading to smaller steps, because we're leveraging the power of sine. I could also use my sine right here if I wanted to. Now if we run it, and sure enough, our smaller ones are traveling pretty fast. And the ones that are closer to the middle are going pretty slow. I could have done perc if I didn't want it so even. And really at this point, it's kind of al dente, right? It's how you want it for the type of effect you're trying to capture. If instead of a sine speed, I just do a percentage speed, we'll see that they're a little bit more evenly distributed in terms of how they're rotating around. Okay, so that's a sine. What we're going to do is we're only going to use one of these distributions. So I'm going to go up and I'm going to delete this top one. Now you can comment it out if you want by doing comment if you want to save it for later, but really the only thing we've done is added sine here. Let me get it just the way I want it. So here's my for loop, total cubes, I'm doing this total distance, percentage sine, I'm setting up my XYZs, I'm instantiating my object, I'm talking to my object's code here, I'm setting their size, diminishing linearly here, the rotation speed is right here. Okay, so things are getting good. Oh, let me also put them right in the middle of the room. Let me go back and test. Okay. Now for some reason, this guy right here seems to be going through that wall. I'm not exactly sure what's going on. We'll look at that for a minute too, but let's do some other modifications. First of all, the scene I want to create visually, I want to make this more interesting. So I'm not going to do it in code, I'll do it in my editor, but I want to create one bigger cube in the middle as kind of my central visual point. So let's do that first. I'm going to grab a spin cube and I'm going to drag it onto the stage. So this is one I'm adding by hand, and that's fine. I can rename it up here if I want. I'll name it Central Cube. I'm going to reset its properties to zero it out, but I'm going to move it up to 5. And its scale, I want it to be 1.5, 1.5, 1.5. I want it to be noticeably bigger than everything else I'll be putting on in the room. Just checking to make sure that all my other walls seem to be correct. Yep. Okay. So this Central Cube, and if I come into scene mode, yep. My central cube is here. Now if I run it, those original cubes, they're popping up in the middle because that's how I'd originally distributed it. I was distributing everything along the X starting at 0. But I already have somebody that's at least 1.5 big sitting in the middle of the screen. So let me come over to my distribution. And I need to say at the very least, maybe starting at 2, starting at 2 in, do this. Now since I'm pushing them in by 2, my total distance isn't going to be 5 anymore. It would probably be 5 minus 2 or 3. Let me make it a little bit tighter, because one of those cubes keeps flying out of the wall. So let me say starting at 2, so that we have our central visual identity, and we want to give it some room for itself to rotate. So starting at 2, go at least 2.5 more units, and then add these other tinier cubes. We'll still keep, let me change this to float, so that we can do it a percentage. We'll still keep 8 cubes for now. We're probably going to have to tweak their size, because they're going to overlap. We're squeezing 8 cubes into only 2.5 units. But let's see how bad we're at right now. Nothing should be touching the big box, but we should have a lot of cluster over here. There we go. This one over here, the very first one, it's also not moving very fast. And the boxes are pretty big. So let's start tweaking that. First, let's deal with, say, size. We're using our percentage. If you recall, we're subtracting our percentage from 1.0 so that we can go down, so that the bigger our percentage is, or the closer our percentage gets to 1, the smaller the size is. But at the end of the day, this still just gives us a percentage value. So I can clamp it by giving a maximum value times whatever it would have been. So this will grow from 1.0 to a very small number. But now we're saying even when you're at 1, the biggest you're going to be is whatever I'm dampening you by, which will be 0.5. Let's see how that looks. There we go. That's getting a little bit better. This inner one is still moving pretty slowly, and that's its rotation speed. One challenge we have is the very, very first iteration we do, when I is equal to 0, we have 0 minus 8 for right now, which is 0. So if we're just saying percentage as rotation speed, the very first cube is always going to have a 0 rotation speed. We don't like that. So let's add, at the very least, let's do something like that. Let's at the very least give it some rotation speed plus whatever else you want to tack on to that. Let's see how that looks. So now the very first one should be moving. Good, so now even the first one's moving. Okay, that's getting pretty good. I like that. I'd like them to spin a little bit faster. So one thing we can do is I could multiply percentage by something. Like if I said by 3, then they would all be going 3 times faster. And that works. But another thing I could do is instead of just doing some number here, I can multiply percentage by percentage. So the smaller they are, they're actually growing exponentially faster than the larger they are. Let's see how that looks. I might like it, I might not, but we're experimenting, we're tweaking. There you go. I think I like that a little bit more. These cubes seem to be occupying the same space. It's up to you if you want that or not. We're not going to be going over collisions, but here we're getting to the creative coding part of what we're doing. We're tweaking numbers and seeing if it's the effect to what we want. Let me go back and let me put it back to linear instead of doing an exponent of itself or multiplying percentage by percentage. One other thing I might want is, let's see if I can add a couple more cubes. I'm going to boost that up to 12. I'm going to make this total distance 2.8 and 2.9. And this initial x, let me make it 1.8. I'm just pulling in numbers based on what I have in my head. Instead of 2, maybe I want them a little bit closer to the cube. I want to kind of push the boundaries of how close they get to the wall. I want to stuff a couple more of them in there and see how that looks. There we go. It's getting pretty good. Right, and that distribution's not that bad. Even when the inner cube's rotating, it clips a little bit the closest one to it, but I'm okay with that. We see that they kind of converge onto each other sometimes, and we get some patterns. Let's come into our scene view to be able to rotate and see what's going on. Yeah, we see that they kind of pop up this linear stream sometimes. That's nice. Maybe you want to code more randomness into it, or maybe you like the fact that they keep lining up into these geometric patterns. Totally up to you. But for us, I kind of like that, how it is right now. Drop back to our game. Good. So we looked at sine, we looked at how to distribute it a little bit more, and by playing with these kind of numbers, these properties, percentage and linear growth, using sine for a easing growth, we'll look at these distribution patterns. In our next lesson, we're going to start adding some visual effects. For example, all of these are still gray, and they're not interacting with the color in the room. That's what we're going to solve in the next lesson.